This is gross.
Oh, this is gross.
Oh, that's so gross.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Like, this is totally gross.
No, this is Jordan Gross.
Oh, Jordan Gross.
Oh, bless his heart. Jordan's not gross.
This is gross.
What's up, world? It is football time. This is Gross is back on the air. Training camp is back. The NFL season is back. Hope everybody enjoyed the summer like I did, and now it's time to get back to work. So with that comes This is Gross. Also, hope you like my new font and icon on the internet there. It's something we worked on over the summer. Minimalist is the design. I loved it. Today's episode, I said, who's better to kick the season off with than head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Ron Rivera? So I took my stuff and set it up in his home away from home, which is his office here at Wofford College in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And he gave me 30 minutes of his time to sit down and talk. And as usual, as you guys have come to expect, it's not a lot of serious stuff. And he's just like the rest of us, and he knows how to have a good time. So hope everybody enjoys it. This is Gross, the first episode of the 2013 football season with head coach Ron Rivera. Peace. Well, I am. First of all, you did me a big favor, and I don't think you know you did, because I wanted to have you on, and I said, "Well, who should we start the 2013 This is Gross season with?" And I said, "Well, the head coach," but I didn't know if you would be willing and able. So I was going to ask you because I need to get one out soon, and I was in there, and right before bed check, the door opened. And who came in to make sure that my 33-year-old tail was in bed but Ron Rivera? And you said, you know, I'm really hurt.
Oh, I was. I've been crushed. I've listened to your show a few times. You've got all these other characters on. And, you know, I figured if anybody deserved a shot to be gross
right,
or be with Gross, it'd be me.
Yeah. And so he said, I'm crushed. And I'm like, why? You know, I'm thinking, oh, I messed something up already. You haven't had me on This is Gross. I said, well, hey, funny you should say so. So here we are.
Well, you know, I like I said, I've listened to it, and I really do enjoy the conversations you have with your teammates. They're all out there. They're a little different. But, you know, I think there's more to who we are as people as opposed to just football players and football coaches.
Right. Well, okay, so this is my first thing I want to bring up, so is bed check. Okay. So the funniest thing about being a pro football player is, like, you get older. If you're lucky enough to play, you get older, but like the rules stay in place for like a college, maybe senior. So I have two children that I've somehow, my wife and I, managed to keep alive from infancy to 4 and 7 years old. But yeah, when I come on campus as a football player, somebody needs to make sure I'm in bed getting my rest at night.
That's because away from your wife, the responsible one in the relationship, we know you guys all revert. You know, I've gone through that too, you know, back in our day. And I eventually became the guy that was trusted.
Oh.
I was the guy that Coach Dick put right next to the door.
Really?
And I was the guy that had to let people in and out. And I was supposed to be the one that made sure. And well, you know, the best thing about it though is at some point in time we all go AWOL,
right?
And mine was I think it was about my 6th or 7th year in the league, and Dan Hampton, Richard Dent, Mike Richardson, a few guys said, hey guys, we're blowing this joint. I mean, they just had bed check. Dale Hopp had just come through the old defense.
Was it 11 o'clock like ours?
Yes, it was like 11:15.
Okay.
They come down the hallway, so a group of us go out. We go to the American Legion in Platteville, Wisconsin.
Hey, is that American?
Oh, yeah. So we're shooting pool, and all of a sudden the waitress comes over, and she's got a little tray full of pitchers of beer.
Okay.
So I said, well, here, I'll buy. She goes, oh, no. And so I get it. She says, no. She says, it's from the coach. We look over in the corner, and there's Coach Dicka with his buddies hanging out.
How'd that go?
That, well, you know, at first I thought, oh, God, we're in trouble.
Well, you were in trouble because you're like the liaison.
Without a doubt. So then he comes over. He starts put $20 on the table. Next thing you know, Richard Dent matched it, so they shot around a pool. So this goes on till about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and Coach looks at his watch, and he goes, well, I guess we got to roll. We got practice tomorrow morning. The whole way back to the dorm, I'm thinking, God, he's going to kill us. Tomorrow's just going to wear us out. So we get out there. Practice was at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
He called the team up like he normally does, and he gives this great speech about hooting with the owls. You got to soar with the eagles. And I think we all got the message because it was the best practice we had all training camp. So
there you go.
Yeah, so, you know, there is a little bit of that, you know, every now and
the
then.
The trust.
Yes, but every now and then you got to let a little steam out. And, you know, the best thing, he didn't find anybody.
Well, because he probably took his money playing pool. He didn't want you to tell anybody where you were, right? Well,
no.
See, you made me be in charge. Not made me, but I've kind of become that guy here that mm-hmm. people think that I'm, like, in your ear. And can tell you. And so they come to me with everything.
But you know, I did the same. I went through the same thing.
Right.
And the thing about it is, and I remember sitting down with Coach Dicka one day. And he finally looked at me and says, Ron, why are you always the guy? And I said, well, quite honestly, Coach, I have no idea.
Right.
But I, you know, I know guys have seen me talk to you, and they figure, well, I've got your ear, so let's go to, you know, my nickname was Chico back
yep.
in the day, too. And they said, let's just go to Chico and let him handle it. So I'd go and sit down, we'd talk with Coach Dicka. This is how great it got, though. At one time, you know, Coach Dicka is a wine connoisseur, and he used to keep wine in his office.
Really?
And he had a nice wine cabinet there. One day I came in, he had a glass of wine there, and he looked at me and said, well, you want a glass too? I said, no, Coach, I got to practice today.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, that's right.
The times have changed. I don't think it would be looked on too well if you had wine at Bank of America Stadium. Well, see, when we were at Tampa last year, because the DNC was mm-hmm. in Charlotte, we were staying in the hotel, and it was against league rules to have a curfew,
mm-hmm.
like up until the yes. night before the game. So you came to me and said, hey, can you talk to the guys about making sure we're all back by a certain time? So I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I go, I call the guys up. I'm like, guys, you know, just to make sure we're responsible and everybody's where they need to be, we need to be back here by 11 and just check in with security guard. You know, we're just implementing upon ourselves. So next thing I know, I got a new nickname, Captain Curfew. And their guys are killing me. Hey, Gross, I'm going to the bathroom. Is that okay?
You know, the funny thing, though, is if you give the guys anything to latch on to,
oh, gosh.
You're done.
They'll kill you.
Absolutely. But I will say this. So the great thing, one of the things I learned about people is when it's something serious or something responsible, the guys came through, which they did.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a credit to Captain Curfew.
Captain Curfew. And we complain about everything, and they complain to me. So they'll be like, in camp. Why are we doing a night practice? It should be in the morning because this is like at 5 o'clock when we're about to practice. But I'm like, yeah, but this morning when you woke up, 3 out of 5 of you came to me and said, oh, God, it's so nice waking up nice and slow, not having practice right off the bat. Go talk to Rivera. Haven't changed. I'm like, guys, you think I'm like this miracle worker that I could just wave a wand and all, you know, I can make everybody happy. It doesn't work like that, but they sure put it on me, man. It's funny.
You know, it is funny because I think also when you look at it, you look at somebody that really doesn't care if he gets his head snapped off or not either, though. So they figure you're the sacrificial cow.
That's true. So what's your camp routine when you come down here? I know we all move in. We all bring different stuff in. Like, I don't have a TV, but I bring my computer because I can, you know, mm-hmm. FaceTime with the family and actually do like a lot of I write down a lot of my day just to try to remember everything. And some guys just only come with a book or two. You know, what's your dorm room looking like these days?
My dorm room has a laundry basket in it.
And, really?
Yes. It's got a book, couple of books.
What are we reading?
I'm reading Roosevelt's Centurions.
Oh.
And what it is, it's basically about the his generals that he had during World War II. And everybody from General Marshall, who was chief of staff, all the way down through Eisenhower and
wow.
MacArthur and Patton and Bradley. I've read an awful lot about World War II in the last 5-6 years. I'm truly fascinated by it. In fact, last year.
Yeah, you went on the trip.
I went on the trip to Normandy, one of my bucket list things that
right.
My wife and I always talked about that I always wanted to do. My wife just wanted to go to France to eat and spend money shopping, and she did.
She's mad you had to go to Normandy?
Oh, yeah. No, she actually enjoyed it, too, because I'll tell you right now, every American and pretty much anybody in the free world that really wants to know what it was all about ought to go there just to see what these men went through
right.
during World War II. It takes your breath away. It was fascinating. But anyways, you go into my dorm room, and I did bring a comforter.
Good.
So I got a comforter.
You never know what the temperature is going to be like in the dorm. It's either like super hot or freezing cold. So you have to have the right bedding.
Well, I brought a nightcap too.
A nightcap?
Yes. Because I can't get the thing regulated, so I got to wear this. I wear this beanie cap at night to sleep in.
Like a panther hat?
Yeah, basically.
Not like a Ichabod Crane like a nightcap with like a.
No, I won't say quite like that. But, and then I got long sleeves. Because I have no idea how cold it's
going to be. You're right. And sometimes the AC works. Sometimes and Wofford's a great place, and they treat us like kings, but that's just dorm life, and it takes you back every year. I got this rug that I bought 8 years ago at Walmart, right? And it's just like a 4x8. It fits in the dorm room perfect. Every year I roll it up, and then I throw it in my attic, and then I come back, and I take my lanyard and tie it up. And then the night before camp, I go out there and get out. You should see all the stains all over this rock. Because it's got like,
I don't want to imagine.
It's got just Gatorade and like one of my O lineman's old like chew spit cans is tipped over on it. And like somebody's pizza fell on it. It's like, I got to have a place for that when I retire because I can't get rid of it. You know?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, frame it, put it up on the wall or something like that.
Yeah, my wife will love that. She right over too. Our dinner table. You know? No, but you got to make it like home. And I read a little bit. I'm reading a historical book as well, World War Z, about zombie invasion.
So
both of us are reading some history.
Fictional. You're reading fictional history. I love it. But, yep. You know, it's interesting, though, because when I first – the very first time I ever went to training camp, okay, my rookie year, I had two pieces of luggage, and they were the big, gigantic size.
No, yeah.
Everything I owned in the world was in those two pieces of luggage. And then each year I've kind of learned I don't need that much.
Yep.
I don't need that much. I don't need that much. This is my 27th training camp, and I don't need that much. So, honestly, I came in, I had a comforter, which was in a green plastic garbage bag, which upset my wife. She thought that was real classy for a head coach. And then I have this white laundry basket. And in it, I've got about 6 pairs of underwear, 6 pairs of clean socks, 3 pairs of shorts, and 3 shirts.
Yep.
And that's it. And then and inside my car, I have an emergency sport coat. And,
and
just in case I got to go somewhere fancy.
In case a cocktail party breaks out, you're
ready to go.
Hold on. Okay.
Yep, and I'm ready to go. That's about it, though. It's gotten to the point where I can move in now without only having to go to the car once.
I don't bring hardly any clothes. It's kind of disgusting. I mean, you bring like 3 pairs of football or like athletic shorts. And I was looking at mine just today at lunch, and I've got like I spilled a tomato down the front right in like the inner leg area. So that was probably the last straw on these ones. I'm going to have to switch them out today. But I wear the team-issued shirts.
Uh-huh.
All day long. So if Jackie Miles ever doesn't hook me up with the free shirts, I'll just have to be wearing like my same Nike t-shirt the whole time.
You know, the beauty of it is I get my laundry done by Jackie, and he doesn't know about it. I just put everything in those yellow bags. So I put it in the yellow bag, I get it back, and it's ready to go. So it's been great. You know, I'm not sure if I've done laundry in the last, I'm going to say probably about the last 8 or 9 camps I've gone to.
No.
That's all I do is I just put it in the yellow bag.
And sneak it in.
Sneak it in. And all the equipment managers, they just throw it in there, wash it. Next thing you know, I've got clean underwear.
Well, so people that don't know, we get these mesh bags with like a elastic, you know, tie around the top. And you just throw at the end of practice, you throw your sweaty socks and your t-shirt and all that in. And it's got your number on it or your name if you're a coach. And they just throw it in the washer and wash and dry and – so you come out, there's so much bulk laundry. Sometimes the stuff's fully dried. Sometimes you got like wet socks. But you can never throw a cotton shirt in there because that thing will be so wrinkled when you're done.
The thing that kills me about it, though, and I'll be honest about this, Jackie doesn't separate the colors from the whites.
No.
And before you know it, about the third wash, any white is now gray.
There's a lot of gray.
Oh, gosh.
There's a lot of grays.
And it's not a nice gray, too. There's nothing
special. It's dingy.
It's dingy. That is a good word.
Well, that's why I only wear gray or black because of the dinge factor.
Well, I thought because it was a slimming look for
you. Well, I don't – some of us – okay, that's a good point for the slimming because the funniest thing about camp to me is that everybody is trying to change their weight, their body weight. You're either trying to gain weight – or you're trying to lose weight. Nobody is ever like the exact right weight.
Right.
And there's nothing funnier than when we go to the lunchroom and you could pick out just by looking at guys' plates which dilemma they're in, you know?
But you're right. If you watch the players.
Oh, yeah.
And you watch what they eat.
Right.
You can also watch see the health conscious guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones getting the egg whites.
Mm-hmm. No, so yeah, like, so I'm in a dilemma. Ryan Cleal and I are like both usually on the lighter side, but we both like try to eat decently, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're always like, first of all, we're always stuffed, especially when we go into any meal because we have to do the protein shakes in between. And stuff. You go there and you're like, all right, here we go. And you're like looking around and it's good food, but it's like a similar palate every day. So you're like, all right, give me some of these beans. Okay. I'll make a salad. I can't have a salad. There's not enough like grease in the salad, you know? So you get like today I had a turkey burger, a bunch of stir-fried veggies, and some corn and beans. And then I was like, I didn't get enough calories. So then I'd eat like 2 cookies.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, and then you're full, but you're thinking, I should probably get some more calories in. So then you make a shake. Meanwhile, you got the guys that are trying to lose weight that have like 1 piece of fish and some strawberries, and they're like so mad that I eat the cookies.
Well, you know what'll happen too is within a week. I don't know if you'll notice that those guys that are still dieting, they'll start sitting by themselves.
Oh, I know.
Just to avoid the eye contact with your plate.
We did that to Byron Bell just the other day because Khalil brought over like a plate of like six cookies. He's like, "All right, guys, start eating." And Byron's like, "Man, why'd you do that?" And he got up and left.
Well, you know, my first few years in the league, I think it was my first 7 years, I didn't have to worry about my weight.
Yeah.
I mean, 235, 238 was automatic. I mean, I'd come to camp at about 245. Within 3 days, I was 238. You know, so that was pretty much my plan weight. But my last 2 years, I have no idea what happened other than age. I couldn't. I mean, I was 242, 245. And if I ate a regular meal, I'd come out weighing the next morning. I'd be 245. I'd go, whoa, really? Wait a minute. What's going on? So, yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things that as you get older, and you're going to find this out when you hit 40.
Yeah.
And you hit 40, things will start to slide.
All right.
It's funny because when I hit 30.
Yeah.
And then when I hit 40, then when I hit 50, now I'm sitting there going, golly. So now I'm one of those guys that I'm trying to get in early, eat quick, and then leave.
Yeah. So you don't hang out in there.
Well, like last year, I hung out a little too much. So. You know, and then people would come by and they'd have something on their plate that I'd find interesting. I'd run over and try it.
And you got to check it out.
Yeah,
right. And you get to be friends with a chef and he tells you what's good.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Or he brings you, or, hey, you know what, hey, coach, try this.
Yeah,
you know,
here you go.
Damn it, no, I'm fine. No, coach, you really got to try this.
So you had a good summer, though, because you got to travel a lot and spend some time with the family and catch a lot of softball games, right?
Yes, I know
that's
did.
Tough with your schedule. You don't get to be around.
Well, you know, the neat thing is, you know, both our kids are in L.A. right now. Mm-hmm. Our son works for Disney. He actually just got a promotion. He's on the creative side, and now he's working on the financial side of the creative side. So he's enjoying that learning process. And then our daughter's at UCLA, but she's a softball player. She's a redshirt sophomore going into her third season. And what happened was she was courted by the Puerto Rican national team to come out and try out for them. And her tryout was basically the World Cup.
Wow.
So we went to Oklahoma City and got a chance to watch her play in the World Cup. And I hate to be one of those parents. They didn't play as well as they would like to, but she had a real good World Cup. So we were excited for her. Well, they invited her to come to the Pan Am qualifiers in Puerto Rico. So she will be there. She gets there August 2nd. And
cool.
She'll be there for for the 18 days. And then
so are we taking 18 days off of practice so you
well,
can go
there, there was a thought process about that. No, actually what happened is my wife will go and she'll hang out there. You know, my father's from Puerto Rico, and so he's got a lot of family members there that they're all excited about this.
Right.
And it's going to be a really big deal. So I'm excited about that. But, you know, it's interesting. One of the things I've really started to enjoy doing is traveling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know in football you could travel a lot, but it's different because it's business. But when you get to travel and see the world and see the different things, it excites me. Because growing up as a kid, my dad had been stationed in Germany. He had been stationed in Panama. So I saw a little bit of the world that way. But now...
Right. When you're a kid, though, you don't really... I mean, you told me you guys drove from Panama back up to L.A., right?
Yep. We went...
I mean, how cool would that trip be now?
Oh, that jet trip would be amazing for a couple of reasons. One is, first of all, the comfort of the cars now. Back in the day, it was six people.
You said you had a station wagon and a bunch of comic books or something,
we did,
right?
And I wish we'd kept the comic books.
So too. How old were you when you did this?
I was 13.
Right.
Myself and my three brothers,
my
mom and dad, and we jumped in an old Ford Torino station wagon, loaded to the hilt. And basically everything we had, my mom had planned out each stop what to throw away.
Really?
Yes. And so by the time... You know, we left, and by the time we arrived with probably one-third of the stuff that we started with. And it was a great trip. It was very educational, and that's what my parents really wanted to do, was give us a chance to see what it was like. I mean, we went through, you know, the Central America, and, you know, went right up the Pan American Highway, and it was a great time. We really enjoyed it. And it's funny because my brothers and I, when we get together, we laugh about it, and, you know, we all kind of kid about, you know, how hard it was. The best part was... I was the only one who didn't get sick during the trip. Yes, for whatever reason, I was the one. But I was the one everybody's worried about because I get motion sickness.
Yeah, yeah.
And people don't realize that the reason I sit up front in the bus is
motion sickness.
Yes, once I get past the third row, there's a good.
I thought it was because you were the most intimidating looking character on our whole staff and team, right?
I'm just trying not to get sick. I got a coat and tie on. How good would that look if I got my head in a bag?
He comes out, he got the spit up on your shirt. All right, so you like to travel. So give me your favorite place you've been and your next. You said you have a bucket list, so like your top bucket list spot.
You know what is interesting is there's a lot of places that I've really gone that I've really truly enjoyed. And I'm very fortunate. My wife and I, we're not tired of each other.
That's good.
That's a good thing.
Well, she didn't see a whole lot.
No,
so.
But, you know, we've been married 28 years, and I really do appreciate traveling with her because she's great about it. Last year's trip to Europe ranks up there as one of the all-time best. But I really do want to continue to travel through Europe at some point and be able to do that. You know, I want to go to Spain. That's where my father's family is from. Not that I know a lot about where he's from, but if we do go, I'm going to do a little research. I would like to go to Asia at some point. You know, I know that a group of our guys went last year, and I'd love to do something like that. I think that'd be really cool. Australia, New Zealand is on that list.
So basically the whole world.
Yes. I would love to see the world at some point.
Because all you got to say now is Africa, South America,
well, you know what?
Antarctica, and you're done.
My wife wants to go to Africa. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm not. That's not high on my bucket list. That for whatever reason, not a big big on it. But she really does. In fact, we have a friend in San Diego. That's what her and her husband have this company. And these are two amazing people that have done a lot of great things in their lives. And one of the things is they start this company. And once a year, they take a trip of about 20 people and organize. They get the trip, everything set up. And they are basically the tour guides too, and they take people to Africa. So
really?
Of course, my wife's all into this. So.
All right, well, we're out of time, if you can believe it. 20 minutes has gone by, and we've talked about a lot of nothing. But here's our plan. So let's take a trip to New York in February.
Okay.
And then to celebrate, we'll go with that group of 20 to Africa. How's that sound?
All right. My wife will be happy to hear.
All right. All right. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
All right.
Wasn't so gross.
No, that was pretty gross.
I've heard grosser. Is it grosser or more gross?
That was gross.